This is a CBC podcast.
After a stormy spring in Saskatchewan politics, the skies have somewhat cleared. In the rearview mirror, the contract negotiations between teachers and the government and the fireworks that lit up the inside of the Saskatchewan Legislative Assembly. But there's always politics to discuss, especially when the government files an injunction to stop the Canada Revenue Agency from collecting the carbon tax.
The federal government has garnished, or is attempting to garnish, I believe the figure currently is around the $28 million mark. Well, the fact of the matter is that our understanding is that the CRA is currently attempting to garnish. And so that's something that we're obviously trying to stay and prevent, and that's why the application for judicial review, which we announced. The most important thing to remember here is that this is about uneven application of the law and of the carbon tax as it was envisaged. Keep in mind that the Supreme Court decision on the carbon tax, which we've never been in favor of, but the decision was that the carbon tax would be applied nationally and it would be applied fairly.
That was Minister of Justice Bronwyn Eyre yesterday in Saskatoon after that news broke. To break it all down, we're joined once again by our political panelist, Murray Madrick. He writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post, and he joins me now in studio. Good morning, Murray.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on here with this injunction?
Well, I don't know how your week's going. I haven't talked to you all week, but if you were having trouble and people were mad at you, I probably tell you, go pick a fight with the federal Liberals or go pick a fight with the even less beloved Canadian Revenue Agency. And I think that's pretty much what's going on right now. It's an opportunity for the government to do what the government does, which is change the focus to something else. Now, there's issues of principle that I think Ms. Eyre touched on in her clip and everything else. I thought that her social media post was bordering on dangerous, in the sense that she is justice minister and she was presenting information that was perhaps not as accurate as it needed to be in context. The overall message was from her is that as justice minister, that if you don't particularly like a federal tax, which obviously no one likes and no one likes the Canada Revenue Agency for applying it, maybe you really don't have to pay. And I think that's problematic for any government saying that. What I really, really didn't like about her social media message, and I separate that from her press conference. They didn't actually weirdly put out a press release on this, which further tells you about the politicization of this particular issue. But I really did not like the notion that the Canada Revenue Agency was being politically controlled by the federal Liberal government. They are assessing a situation as I think they would any time. And yeah, I don't like the Canada Revenue Agency, like most Canadians don't like the Canada Revenue Agency because they usually cost me money. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not justified in investigating when you're not paying your taxes. And I think it ultimately comes down to that. And I think that's a dangerous message for a justice minister and a government, but especially a justice minister's dissent. I guess that there wouldn't be very many justice ministers in this country willing to send that message. That said, as I said off the top, I think this is a very popular thing to do, politically speaking. And we're in an election year, and this is just one more tool that they're using in this election fight to basically either distract or present an issue in which they look like they are fighting on behalf of Saskatchewan people. They are. I don't know if it'll be very successful because I don't understand what their case is for not paying their taxes.
And it's something that was sort of signaled back months ago this came out initially. And we also had Scott Moe saying, well, we've paid all of our taxes. We don't owe anything. Very quiet from the CRA. Obviously, there's a separation between the Liberal government and the CRA. The Liberal government saying it's now in their hands. So they're kind of staying out of the fight. But they're taking it to social media, which is a different strategy than, as you said, holding a press conference, which is typically what they do. And we didn't see a press release either. And I remember when I saw the note going out that she was available, I was kind of, for what? Because I didn't wasn't paying attention to social media, and then I saw the post. And as you said, there's more context in the interview, but not everyone's going to go seek out that.
No,
and that is a strategy as well, obviously.
And it's fascinating to me as a political observer that this is the way they're doing this. As I say, justice ministers usually stay away from the politics because they're justice ministers, and you want to separate church and state here between what is the law and what needs to be obeyed, and what is the usual political games being played. And in her time as justice minister, Bronwyn Ayer has modified that, and I don't think that's good overall. Now, do they have validity in some aspects of the issue? They certainly do. If you look at her carefully chosen language, at least within – it wasn't even really a press conference, but it was – I guess it was a press conference in the sense, but it was specifically asked as a response to the social media post. She was far more careful and far more deliberate in saying that this is an unfair application of the carbon tax on home heating as opposed to elsewhere. But certainly in the social media message, she talked about regionalism. She talked about politicalization when she was in essence being very regional and political in her own statement. So that's where it becomes a little problematic. Is there a legitimate issue in terms of the way the federal government has bungled this? Absolutely. The stupidity of Goody Hutchings, the Northern Economic Minister, saying last spring that
– It was a role play.
Yeah, it was a role play. Yeah, if you elect more liberals, maybe you'll get your way too. Most incredible political statement I've heard in years, to be honest with you. And for that reason, I suspect the federal liberal government kind of deserves what they're getting right now in terms of this response from the government. But none of this makes it right. And I think that we as Canadians and living in a world that we want to be somewhat civilized have to realize that sometimes even if we don't think the taxes are fair, we got to pay them until there's court otherwise. Now, they're obviously going to court to change this, but their record in court hasn't exactly been brilliant.
You wrote about this week, and we have the minimum wage going up to $15 an hour in October. But for some reason, we got the news release this week.
Isn't that interesting?
What's the strategy here?
Well, one thing is they can't put out a release on October 1st when it goes up because I think we'll be in the writ period. In fact, technically we have to be if we have an October 28th election because we need a 28-day campaign and they can't put out press releases. But I also think that strategically, and I think this is clever on the part of the government, I think that they're putting the NDP in a little bit of a bind because this is specifically what the NDP and others have asked for. Now, others who are watching this right now say that $15 is not enough. That might not necessarily be an unpopular sentiment if you're on minimum wage, but most people aren't on minimum wage. And I think when we delve into the deeper thought of this particular issue, how added minimum wage does affect businesses, you know, restaurant industries are one of the more common ones to pay minimum wage salaries. They're all coming out of COVID. There's a legitimate debate over what is the appropriate level of minimum wage. Yes, we're still the lowest in Canada, and the government didn't make a huge issue about mentioning that. But they also have raised it because we're ridiculously low, 27% in the last 3 years, which is obviously a good thing. They basically can say that they are responding to concerns and public pressures and balancing off the interests of low-income working people with businesses that are also struggling. And that puts the NDP in a bit of a bind as to, well, what would the NDP do that's different? And I think Alina Young's press release on that matter was pretty carefully chosen in terms of not really committing to the NDP doing much more, which is kind of funny because the NDP was, among others, complaining 3 years ago that we immediately had to go to a $15 an hour minimum wage when they weren't as close to an election as they are now.
Yeah, and that was $11.88, I believe. It went to $13 an hour after that pushback. And Alberta and Saskatchewan still the lowest in the country at $15 as of October 1st. You have a column this week as well on truth-telling. You can call it misinformation. You can call it, and some people would characterize them as lies.
Some use the L word, yes.
Yes, the L word. You say in your column that NDP leader Carla Beck and company, the past year has been an embarrassment of riches when it comes to Premier Scott Moe and his cabinet ministers getting caught red-handed spewing untruths. So what has caught your attention here, Murray?
What's caught my attention of late is Environment Minister Christine Tell, who told us they weren't shipping recycled tires out of province when they changed the contract to a California company that happened to employ lobbyists with deep, deep provincial government connections to the SAS party. It was a big issue this spring, but she said, no, we're arm's length. Even though we appointed a arm's length body with political connections of their own to handle this, we are arm's length, and this is just for the betterment of the province, and everything's copacetic. We're not shipping tires out of the province. Well, All Saskatchewan, the business news organization, journalistic business news organization, got a hold of a video in which somebody was following a tire truck moving out to Calgary, and it just very much proved that what the minister said this spring was false. And here's the problem with that. This isn't the biggest issue. And isolated, many of the things that they have not been truthful about have not been the biggest issue. It probably doesn't affect your life or mine if Jeremy Harrison wanders into the legislature with a rifle to show it off or to whatever reason he was doing running into. But what does affect my life is my trust in Jeremy Harrison when he tells the premier that that what Speaker Randy Weeks said he did. Didn't happen. It was unequivocally false. So how am I to believe Jeremy Harrison? How am I to believe Christine Tell? How am I to believe Minister Jeremy Cockerell when the first thing out of his mouth is a education minister was that every MLA was besieged with concerns from parents about changing the pronoun law, and that flowed into the whole issue related to the teachers' negotiation, where once again, Education Minister Cockerell was often accused of saying and doing things that just proved to be patently untrue later. Now, here's the problem that we have. We're in election year, and governments and opposition parties are going to ask the public to believe what they say. It's a lot easier for oppositions in this particular case because all politicians, people accept Gild the Lily, spin a bit, et cetera, et cetera. There's a little bit more than that. But when you're actually dealing with government policy and responsible for government policy and you see something that's patently untrue, that almost becomes a way of doing things that it has with this government, Premier Scott Moe was being patently untrue when he said he was invited by the Mayor of Spears to go to this community meeting that was a community meeting. It was neither. He was neither invited nor was it a community meeting. And this flowed right into media services. There is a trust issue growing with the government. It might not be the biggest deal. I'm sure voters will be far more interested in talking about the carbon tax and what Bronwyn Eyre is doing. But in the back of their minds, well, people are going to look at their election platform and say, okay, well, I might not like it, or I might like it, but can I necessarily believe it? And I think that's a problem, a growing problem for the government, because the people that are doing this are people that are, again, running for office and have to knock on your door and ask for your vote. And I think the response of some is, well, I'd like to give you my vote, but why should I believe you?
Murray, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.